Sharm, we're in Perek Dalet. We're speaking about the three motivating factors that encourage people in Avodas Hashem. We're in the middle of the second one, which is Kavod. Hine, yesh me'apta'im ha'mevakshim. Sorry, go back two lines. Im kein eifo, eich yuchal ha'adam la'anim einav mima'asav o lama'et ishtadluto bezeh. אם אחר כך ודאי יצר לו בזמן שלא יוכל לתקן את אשר עיוותו. If it's true that honor is a motivating factor for people, and as we spoke about yesterday, people don't like to admit that, because we're also at the same time trying to work on humility, but there is certainly a major factor in us, whether it's honor that people actually give us, or whether it's honor that we acknowledge something is honorable, but that is a major motivating factor that causes us to do what we do. That's how most children learn everything. A child, how does he learn what to do in life? He looks around and what he's praised for, he realizes is a good thing. And what he's told is not an appropriate thing, he doesn't do. If he sees a sibling does something and gets lots of praise, then he'll go and do that as well. Because he sees where honor is given, that's a lesson to learn that that's an appropriate thing to do. I mean, he's using honor as a way of learning his path in life. Honor for him is a motivating factor. So too, if you're in yeshiva and you see someone ask the type of a question was a good question, you see like everyone says, wow, that's a great question. You think, well, what type of a question was that? How can I ask that type of a question? An action that someone does that they get praised for. Not because you're looking for someone to come and praise you. You're amazing, you're not looking for that. But you're using honor as a way of telling what is a worthy thing for you to do. And that's how you learn how to invest. It's a motivating factor. If that's true, then how can a person ignore all that he's doing? And afterwards he knows that he's going to look back and say, I missed out on what gives true honor. There are foolish people. They're always looking for easy ways out. Whatever there is in front of them, they always say, what's the minimum I need to do? How can I get out of doing this? Which I understand if you've been through a school system, you would want to do that. Because in a school system, there isn't always, and in fact, there's often not, inherent value in what you're learning. And there, the whole goal is to pass the test. And if you pass the test, whether you know the information, whether you don't know the information, it doesn't really make a difference. And if you're able to like get by it in some way, you still get some certificate, or you still get some approval, then why not? The school system doesn't encourage, and I'm not saying every school system does it, but broadly, school systems don't encourage knowledge for the sake of knowledge. They can't do that because they have to have testing to see what you're up to so that they can understand if you're moving forward. They have to have it on a universal level, and therefore they have like across the board, everyone's learning the same thing. And that's a system which doesn't serve the Talmidim very well in that from that aspect. I mean, it might be better than any other system, right? That's maybe the best there is. But one thing that it causes as a fault is that if you're able to, work the system, if you can get by it and not do the real work, but you can get by, and it's easier for you, why not? If you can find an easier way out, then why put in the effort? And that may be true in the school system. But it's horrendous when you apply that to Avodas Hashem. Because Avodas Hashem is authentic. Avodas Hashem is genuine. There's no like cheap way out. There's no way you can just buy this certificate and it says you did it, or as long as you cheated on this test. And there's no back paths. It has to be authentic. So it's foolish for a person to have the mindset, even if he has picked up that mindset from other areas, but it would be foolish for him to apply it to Avodas Hashem and say, why do I have to be so righteous? Why do I have to be a tzaddik? And there's a very, very interesting diuk that I once heard just on this very line. We're in the chapter on Zehirut. Zehirut is the first chapter of the basic obligation of man. That's something which everyone is obligated in, making sure that you do everything correctly. Now, when the fool here says, why should I put in the effort? What does he say? Why should I put in the effort for chassidut and prishut? Now, chassidut and prishut are much, much further in the book. And in fact, the Mesitzer Shom himself has a certain point where he cuts off and he says, everything until now is an obligation for everyone. And from here on is for a bonus. It's for chassidus. It's for an extra level if you want to do more. And both chassidus and prishut are on that extra level. And that is the way of the Yetzer Hara. So whenever the Yetzer Hara wants you not to do something, he blows it out of proportion and makes it seem like a much bigger deal. And I'm sure you've had this with people, where you've said to someone that something's correct, and they take your words and say, well, if you say that, that means this and this and this and this. And then they take the direction of what you're saying, much further than where you are saying it, and then they make fun of it. And they say, no, what you're saying is ridiculous. Look, because you're saying this and this. You say, no, no, no. I wasn't saying that and that. I wasn't taking it so far. I wasn't being extreme. I was saying that within balance, within reason, this is what you need to do. And the Yetzer Hara's trick is to make it seem so overwhelming. It once happened to us that we had a certain idea of giving a shiur in a certain place, in certain people, not in Kamei Avner, like beyond. And it seemed like a good idea. It seemed like we could create a Kiddush Hashem. And we turned to like a kind of a bigger authority that they had like more power to advertise, and they had lots of people who would listen to them, and then like through them would have been better. And there was a team, but we were debating within us whether we should do it to them or should do it independently. If we do it independently, then like, we get to like say what we want to do and how we want to do it, but then like we'll have less influence. But if we do it through this kind of more umbrella organization, then although, yeah, we are bound by them to some degree, but then there's a lot more opportunities. Many people will hear the Divrei Torah. It's a greater opportunity. Anyway, it was decided to go through the organization. And the organization loved the idea. They said, it's amazing. We're going to do it in this way, and in this way, and in this way, and in this way. And they made it bigger and bigger. And we were all excited. Oh, this is happening, and it's an amazing, it's a big thing. And then we didn't hear anything. And we didn't hear anything, and we didn't hear anything. So we got back to the organization at some point, and they weren't answering our emails. And we eventually got back to them. And they said, we apologize, it's too much of a big undertaking, the whole project, so we're just going to leave it. But it really, really wasn't a big undertaking. What we had suggested at the beginning was zero effort from them. Zero. We would prepare all the shiurim. We would prepare the flyer. All we were asking from them was, if they believed in it, was just to post it to their group. Right? They didn't even have to say it's under their auspices. But just like they could say, I don't know, they can say however they want to say it. Take no credit for it. Or take full credit for it. But then they blew it up and made it like a big, big project. And then under that huge project, it was too overwhelming for them and they couldn't take it. That's the goal of the Yetzer Hara. And everyone knows that from the snake. The snake who Chava was told not to eat, but he added on don't touch. And once he added on don't touch, then that was like overwhelming. And she did touch. And once she touched, okay, you touched, now you can eat. So the trick of the Yetzer Hara is to make something seem so big that you just give up, even though what you were actually asked to do was within your realm. So over here again, these fools, their claim is, should I really put on effort for Hasidus and Precious? And even though we're talking on the level of Zahirut, which is something which is tangible and an obligation, they don't discuss that. They discuss it. You know what it's going to lead to? Give up now. Halodai lanu, these people say, it's sufficient for me, as long as I'm not doing anything bad, anything really terrible, I'm not going to go to hell for what I'm doing. I'm doing things which are reasonable. That's good enough for me. I don't have to push myself into Gan Eden. I don't have to have such a big portion. I'm a good enough person. I'm doing things in the middle of the road. Not average. No, it's good. It's fine. It's sufficient. I don't have to push myself to be so great. What's the big deal? I'm not a bad individual, so I won't have a big portion in the next world. I'll have a small portion, but that's good enough for me. I'd rather relax in this world, easygoing life, have more physical pleasures. I won't do anything wrong. I'll be a good person in that. Now, to be honest, between me and you, I think very honestly, I doubt whether you'll meet a person who will express this. I doubt whether you'll meet a person who will say, I believe in the next world, I believe in Gan Eden, I don't really care about a big portion or small portion is enough for me. I don't think they'll say that phrase. But I think the vast majority of modern Orthodox Judaism, this is their mindset. They're not thinking to themselves, what more can I do? What more can I do? What more can I do? They're thinking, I'm keeping halacha. I'm doing the basic things that I have to do. I'm not a rabbi. I don't have to be the top of the top. I'm not trying to be a big tzaddik. I'm not trying to be a big chassid. I'm just trying to be normal. And therefore, even if they're not thinking these words exactly, but that is the guiding mindset. I want to be a good person. I don't want to do anything wrong. But I'm satisfied with how I am and the level that I'm at. I'm not pushing myself to be a greater person. I'm content and comfortable where I am right now. I was once walking down the road, and on Yom Tov, and the car stopped. And the person opened their window, and he said to me, would you like a lift to shul? I said, no, I'm fine, thank you. And they said, it's not Shabbos. It was Yom Tov. They said, it's not Shabbos. It's fine. Oh, rabbis don't go in the car, even on Yom Tov? I said, not just rabbis. But from their mindset, It was... That's a thing that rabbis do. And they didn't have any sense of guilt to like offer me because they didn't think it was wrong. But they're saying, oh, you don't do that. Okay, you don't do that. So like, that's your thing. I'm content with where I am. That's different because that's like, clearly someone doesn't even know the halacha. But let's go away from that example because then we'd lose it. But in our example, we're talking about people who keep halacha. They know halacha. But they're content with the level that they're at. They would say this phrase, if not these words, they would say, I'm not going to go to Gehenna, I'm doing good. I don't have to push myself and to have a big portion in Gan Eden. Anu dai lanu b'ze, I'm satisfied and content with the level that I'm at. V'lo nachbid al masa'enu b'avoza, I don't want to make my life harder. I don't want to have to push myself. I don't want the pressure. Many, 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 many people are in this category. They don't want to be Rishayim, but they don't care to be Tzadikim either. They're just content where they are. They feel they've reached a balance and they're happy with that. But to be very, very honest, their balance probably isn't a balance. They feel content with where they are, but it's very possible and very, very likely they're not keeping all the halacha properly. If you're not actively learning halacha, and you're not actively taking on new halachas that you learn as you keep them, you're falling. One is going down. So it's not even true that they are balanced and well-balanced and content with where they are. They're content with where they are. But it's not true that they're in a solid place. It's not like a person who would say, I got my degree, I've got my second degree, I don't need to go for a PhD. The second degree that I have, I can earn enough money, and I'll be content with the amount of money that I have. That's a true thought. Going for a PhD is many more years, it's a lot more effort, and you might not need that extra difference in salary. Right? What you'll have from having a second degree will be sufficient to raise your family, to lead an erelich life, there that thought is a good thought. I've put in enough effort, I have enough of what I need, I can be satisfied with this, putting in more effort, it will give me more, but it's unnecessary, I'm content. There it's a true thought. Because there, it's something which is physical. It's how much money you have. And you only need how much money you have. And if you have enough, you have enough. But with something spiritual, if you're not constantly investing in and constantly improving it, then it will fall. Money in a bank account is static, right? It's not, I mean, it can go down in value or you can get interest, right? But it's there, it's what it is. It is what it is. You know, it's not getting lost because it's physical, so it doesn't go down. But spiritual things are like a relationship. If you're not constantly investing in a relationship, then the relationship wanes. It doesn't retain that freshness. It doesn't retain that beauty. It doesn't retain that closeness. In your Avodas Hashem, if you're complacent, then you lose the relationship. And therefore it's foolish for a person to apply that true concept when it comes to money, but to take that concept and apply it over to Yiddishkeit. Amnam sheila achat nishal lehem. We're going to ask them one simple question. Hayuchlu kol kach al nakel lisbol ba'olam hazeh acholef lirot echad mechavreihem mechubadu menusayoter mehem moshel lehem. Are they so complacent and so content when they see someone who in their eyes and in their mind is someone who they see as below them? I'm not saying it's healthy to judge. I'm not saying it's an appropriate thing to judge. But if they would see someone who in their eyes would be someone who's less significant, less honorable, less worthy, and if they would see someone like that, Kol Shekein, if it would be someone who's a poor person, who in their eyes is a person filled with disgrace and lowly, and that person was suddenly given a promotion and was made to be their boss, was made to be above them, beyond them, how would they feel? Would they say, okay, I have enough money. My job is good enough as it is. I'm content in my job. Or, in the language of the Sefer Shorim, would their blood boil? Hayadamam roteyach bekirvam. What do you mean? You said you were content? You said you were happy with your position? I'm happy with my position, but if he's being placed above me, oy vavoy, what's the world come to? Don't they know the value of this company and how it's only going to go downhill from now if they put him instead of me in that place? Oh, well, what happened? You said you were content. Well, why are you suddenly not content? But look, they put him! Suddenly, a person is comparing, and they are judging, and they are seeing where their place is in comparison to other people's place. And if they're not fulfilling their potential, or they see someone who they think has lower potential as being given a position above them, they get very angry. Why are they so angry? Why are they not so calm over there? Vadai shelo. Ki hineinenu ro'ot, ki kol amal ha'adam linase, al kol mi shiyuchal, v'rasim kamo ben harim b'yoter. We see that the nature of man is always to want to grow higher when it comes to comparisons between them and other people. People aren't content with their status. When it comes to a person's status, a person either overtly or subtly, a person's always trying to raise their status. Say something which was accepted in the community, say something was accepted by the friends, say something was clever and have esteem. Now again, we're not saying that a person's lachatchila goal in life is to have esteem by others, right? But we do see that it's a motivating factor. A lot of what a person says is that which will be accepted by the people around him, and that which will find favor in the eyes of the people around him. Because it's important for a person to continue growing around in the environment inside his head. There are red lines. If you go and you're amongst people who you don't agree with their ways, and you'll say, it's a red line, I don't care about how they see me. There I care more about how Hashem sees me. But even then, it's about how I'm seen, right? Or how my values are being fulfilled. So we see that people are not complacent. When it comes to them and other people, they're always looking, where am I, where is he? And there's a kind of a dance. Like, who was the one who just had the one up, and who's the next one who has the one up? And although that's not an lachatchila way of living, but it is something, it is a dynamic which is under the ground, which is happening, under the surface. Ki kinat ish mereihu. There's a natural jealousy, one man to another man. Ve'im yireh chaveiro mitromem. And if he sees his friend going up a level, hu nishar shafel. That means, by definition, because he's in a world of comparing, if the friend goes up, that means I'm down. I just want to put in brackets, obviously, this whole discussion and whole thought process wouldn't even come close, it wouldn't even enter the mind of the first person. The person is looking for shleimus, looking to do what's right, to be perfect. This whole idea of like, where am I, and where's he, and he's above, and I'm below, and that wouldn't affect him in any way. But we're not talking about someone who that's his motivating factor. We're on the level of someone who what motivates him is, where am I in society, and what's considered good amongst the people, and I want to have one up, and I want to be... So suddenly he's two-faced. When it comes to all other areas like money, for example, there, I want more, I want to be accepted more, I want to be acknowledged more. When it comes to Yiddishkeit, he's complacent. That's not being fair. At least if you see you have that trait in when it comes to all other areas, social areas, monetary, financial areas, then at least use that very same trait of the desire to be greater, the desire to have more. Use that same trait when it comes to spirituality. And don't do the wrong way around. Don't do when it comes to money, you want to have more, you want to have a higher status. And when it comes to Yiddishkeit, you're content where you are. It should be exactly the opposite. It should be that when it comes to money, you see you have enough, you're content. If you don't have enough, work harder. But if you see you have enough, you're content. That's all I need. I have what I need. But when it comes to Yiddishkeit, you're never satisfied. You're always looking for more. Vadai shema sheizbol hu ma sheyuchrach lisov lo. Ki lo yuchal limnoa hu levavo yitashesh bekirbo. Me'ata, im kach kashe aleihem. If it's so hard for these people, they can't take it when they see someone else who's raised above them. And then someone's status, who they think is supposed to be lower than them in their mind, is raised above them. Liot shfalim mezulatam b'ma'alot ha'medumot ha'kuzovot. If this whole discussion we had is foolish, it's all false, it's all external, but it does play on people. People's minds do work that way. They do think, oh, why was he given acknowledgement by the Rebbe and I wasn't? I could have said a good line as well. And people are like saying, I also thought of that first. And they're saying all these phrases. Even if they don't say it to the Rebbe, but they think to themselves, I thought of that at first, I should have said it. I should have said it before he said it, because I could have got it. All those like foolish thoughts that people do have, and they're all coming from a place of honor. And if we do have them, she'ein shiflut bam ela lipanim. And they're all external. There's nothing inherent in them. They're all base. Ve'lo ahina se' ela shav v'sheker. Even if you are raised up, even if you're all satisfied and smug with yourself that you got to say the phrase before you saw he was about to say it, and you got it in, and you're all happy, right? It's all false, and it's all external. And if that bothers you already here in this world, and it's all false, everything in this world is, in this area of the honor, is all false, but we see that it does affect us on some level. It is important to us, and even if we don't like to admit it, and even if it's definitely not our conscious motivating factor, but on some level it is a factor. And it bothers us, and it bothers us tremendously if we try and do something good and we don't get acknowledgement. Many, many times I've had discussions with people who were trying to do good and they didn't feel they were acknowledged. And now they're really upset and offended because they were trying to do good and they weren't acknowledged. Which is honor. It's not a bad thing. They're not a low-based person. It's a basic norm for everyone who has. But you see that it is a motivating factor for every person on every level. That if I'm not acknowledged, I wasn't acknowledged. How could that be? I put in so much effort. Why didn't people acknowledge what I did? And if that bothers you so much in this world, and it causes a person to like not have focus in davening and not want to learn and not want to be friendly with people because they didn't feel they got acknowledged the way that they were hoping to be, and that bothers us so much here, and it's a world of sheker, that element, then eich yuchlu lisbol shiru atzam shfelim yoter meotam anashim atzmam asher hem shfelim mehem. But in the next world, when it's real, where there it's not about honor, which is an external honor. There it's about how you fulfilled your life mission. It's a true honor. It's not an honor of you in respect to someone else, but it's an honor of you in respect to yourself. Your honor in the next world is with the potential that you were given, how did you live up to it? And even if you would compare yourself to other people in the next world, it's not you as opposed to them, it's they fulfilled their potential and did you fulfill your potential? I mean, not where they are, but rather in the next world, where you are is not about where you were on this world. It's about according to the ability you were given, how much of your potential did you fulfill? And then you'll feel jealous. How come I didn't fulfill my potential? And that's real honor. That's authentic. So if in this world people with a foolish honor are getting all upset and worked up, and can you imagine in the real world where it really bothers, where it's supposed to, it authentically bothers you because it's your neshama, it's your relationship with Hashem? So if you see that you have the motivating factor, even under the surface already here in this world, then channel it and use it for avodat Hashem. Recognize, this does bother me, so let me then use that for Torah. Let me use that for tefillah. Let me use that to push myself in avodat Hashem. We're in the three motivating factors. We're still in the middle of part 2. Mezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow. Shalom.